One of my favorite hymns is God Will Take Care of You. Yeah. And normally, I sing in both languages. I sing in Spanish and after that in English. Because when we're talking about mission, we're talking about language. So I think we will be good if you hear another language, or how we can sing in another language this familiar hymn.
Nunca desmayes cuando hay afán, te cuidará el Señor. Sus fuertes alas te cubrirán, te cuidará el Señor. Te cuidará el Señor, no te verá solo jamás. Velando está su amor, te cuidará el Señor. All you may need, He will provide, God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
I want to say thank you, Pastor Jeff, for the opportunity to be here in your church. And normally, when I've been in churches, I always say to the church, pray for your pastor. Because we try to connect with other churches, and a lot of churches tell us they are looking for a pastor. Or some churches told us they don't have a pastor. And sadly, some churches are closed because they don't have a pastor. And I don't have doubt that you have a wonderful pastor. So please pray for him and his family. Probably you can hear my accent. I am not from the United States. I am from Bolivia, and we speak Spanish. and my wife's name is Ruthanne. And we are grateful for churches like you just coming to the church I saw in the wall. You support missionaries there, and I am so grateful for churches like you because the gospel was preached in my country. My grandparents was saved for a missionary. My mom was saved for a missionary, and my parents working with a missionary. So we have a lot of influence in my country with missionaries, but that happened for churches like you, then you support missionaries. And probably you don't see the result right now, but let me tell you something. In heaven, you will see all the results, and this is something that I want to encourage the church to continue to do that because it's worthy. So I have a video presentation, so we're talking about more our life, our salvation, our ministry, and some information about the country of Paraguay. Probably you know where is Paraguay, probably you don't know where is Paraguay. So all this information we have in our video presentation. So we will see that and we'll continue with the service. My name is Kevin Pardo, and by the grace of God, I was saved at 9 years old in my local church in Santa Cruz, Bolivia.
My name is Roseanne Pardo, and by God's grace, I was saved at 10 years old in Bolivia, South America.
We are very grateful that the Lord allowed us to grow up in families with the same heart for mission. Our parents have worked in mission for over 20 years. They were our first mentor, showing us the love and compassion that we shall have for lost souls.
In 2012, I started learning how to teach children. I really started learning from my mom. She was the one that taught me how to love children, how to show children God's love, how to install biblical principle in children's lives.
In 2015, in a youth camp in Argentina, God called me to serve Him in full-time ministry. In that same year, I started serving in the music ministry, playing the piano.
In 2016, God used the missions conference to place a burden on my heart to surrender my life to Him. In 2017, I started helping my parents in a local orphanage. The goal wasn't only to teach life skills, it was to show God's love, to show the love that they might not have received from their parents or family members.
In the same year, I started serving in children's ministries as a Sunday school teacher, as well as supporting other churches with their children ministries. In 2018, I started serving as co-pastor in my local church, and 2 years later, I started serving as youth pastor. This was a challenge for me because it was the start of the pandemic with many churches closing their doors, but it was not a discouragement because we saw how God continued to reach the lost through virtual means.
In 2020, I returned to the United States and I started serving in my local church as a helper in children's ministries and a Sunday school teacher.
In 2021, with the help of our Savior, I was able to finish Bible school as well as get ordained. In the same year, God confirmed my calling to serve Him in Paraguay.
2022 was a very special year for us because it's the year God allowed us to get married and start serving Him together.
Our Sunday church is Anchor Baptist Church in North Carolina, under the leadership of Pastor Randy Barton.
God has given us a wonderful opportunity to better prepare ourselves for the mission field. He allowed us to join Mentoring Men for Missions, which is a program under Preach Evangelistic Ministries. This program focuses on preparing families and individuals for the challenges and difficulties they'll face on the mission field.
The country of Paraguay is in South America and shares borders with Bolivia, Brazil, and Argentina. Paraguay has 17 states and over 7.4 million people. Paraguay is a bilingual country. The 90% of the population speaks Spanish and Guarani, which is an Indian dialect.
Out of all the countries in South America, Paraguay has the highest percentage rate of Catholicism. 89% of the population professes to be Catholic. It's sad to see how many of the Paraguayan people have faith in objects made by man. Objects that have mouths but don't speak, eyes but can't see, hands that don't touch, and feet that don't walk. The Paraguay people need to know the truth about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
We need to continue praying for the country of Paraguay and its people. Pray that the Word of God continues to be preached in this country. Our goals are to win souls for Christ, have children at youth ministry, train up new disciples, plant churches, and have a medical outreach.
We've seen a very wide open door for medical ministries in Paraguay. Over 90% of medical attention is only in Asunción, the capital of Paraguay, leaving many rural areas with no medical attention and no attention for the gospel. Our goal isn't only to provide medical attention. Our goal is to use the medical attention that we can give to be able to open their hearts to share the gospel with them.
How do you wish to take part? First, praying for the 7.4 million who live in Paraguay and our ministry.
Giving, so that the word of God can continue to be preached and the name of God glorified.
And finally, going, continue with the Great Commission.
Will you join us?
God used so many times this verse when I was a teenager. I remember when I hear this verse, God was spoken to my heart. And many times I tried to regret his call. And just looking around me and try to tell another people that God has called you, or God has called you. But I never answered like Isaiah. So finally, in a youth camp, I surrendered my life to him. But in that time, I was in college. I studied architecture. So when I come back to my country, I just continue my career. I forgot my decision, like a teenager, I think. But a year later, in a missions conference, God reminded me my promise that I made in that in a youth camp. So I was talking with my pastor, and I told him that I need to prepare myself for the ministry and just start, because in our church we have our Bible Institute, so I start that. So I finished that, I finished my career. So after that, I pray about what is my next step. I just pray about that. My father, which is the pastor, or my pastor, told me about take the church there, because probably it's a good start for me. The people know me, but I don't have peace doing that. And when we come with my family here, and my father was presenting his ministry, a lot pastor told me about stay here and start a Hispanic ministry, because they have a lot of Hispanic people around here. But at the same time, I don't have peace in my heart. So talking with another missionary, God give me a burden for the country of Paraguay. I don't know the reason. Somebody asked me, why you choose Paraguay? And I told, I don't choose Paraguay. If I have the possibility to choose one country, probably I will choose some country in Europe or in the other side of the world, but not Paraguay. But when God puts something in your heart, you just need to obey. So that is what we are doing. We obey His call. I know He knows better than me what will happen in the country. So my business is just obey what He say. So please pray for us. Pray for my wife too. Our family will start to grow up. She is 8 months pregnant, or close to 8 months pregnant. So we will have a boy. So please pray for this time. I am nervous, but please pray for my family. We have a prayer card there in our display table. You can take one. It's free, just in case. You don't need to pay nothing. So please take one and pray for my family. So let's go to your Bibles. In 1 Kings 8. This night, I want to share with you the primary purpose of the church. We will see this night what is the principal purpose of the church. I know, talking about some example, the gym. If you're going to the gym, the principal purpose for the gym is to do exercise, right? You don't go to the gym to have a meeting or to have an interview. No, the principal purpose of the gym is to do exercise. And if you're going to a soccer academy, the principal purpose of a soccer academy is to prepare players. It is true. You can make some friends. You can have your coach or have a fun time. But the principal purpose is to prepare players. Or a stadium. The principal purpose of the stadium is to train in sports. A market. The principal purpose of a market is to buy products. You don't go to the market or to the grocery store to clean or just meet people. The principal purpose is to buy products. But in this night, we will see what is the principal purpose of the church. And we will see that in 1 Kings 8:60. But after that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here in the church. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to preach your message. And this time, I need you. Please use my mind, use my lips to deliver your message. I know somebody can do this better than me, but please help me and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So 1 Kings 8:60 say that all the people on the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no else.
Amen.
And there is no else. Talking about the context, we know here the King Solomon was dedicating the temple. And you study this temple, take like 7 years to finish everything. I can imagine each day working in that temple, each year working and working. And his father, the King David, had prepared everything for this construction. He prepared all the rock, the wood, the stone, everything. The silvers and golds, and was incredible, all the things that he prepared for this temple. Even the plans, everything was prepared for the King Solomon to build this temple. And we will see in this chapter a few things that we need to know to fulfill the primary purpose of the church. We need to know 4 things to fulfill the primary purpose of the church. And the number one is there must be the presence of God. If you see the verse 1, 1 Kings 8:1, we will see this point in this time. The verse 1, 1 Kings 8:1 say, then Solomon assembled the elder of Israel and all the head of the tribes, the chief of the father of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up, looking, the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And verse 6, and the priest brought the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. And we know, brethren, the Ark of the Covenant presents the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. And King Solomon, knowing this, when he was dedicating this temple, he said, we need God present in our temple. We need His presence in our temple. And just talking about the influence that this ark have in the people of Israel, when they have some war and they broke the ark of the covenant, they was happy and say, hey, God is with us. We will won this battle because God is with us. And King Solomon knew this when he was dedicating the temple. We need the presence of God in this temple.
Amen.
When people was offering sacrifice, they don't want to their neighbor or going to another city. They went to the temple because they was looking the presence of God. Or to obtain direction was the same. All the people was ensures the presence of God. What they say when they were in war and looking direction, we don't know what to do in this situation. They go into the temple and search the presence of God. It is very important, brethren, the presence of God in our life.
Yes.
And in our churches. We need His presence in our churches. In Exodus 33:15, the example of Moses, and he say unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. We need Moses knowing that he needs the presence of God. And it's the same for me. I don't want to go into another country if God no is with me. I need His presence. I cannot do anything without Him. We need His presence. I remember my first time here in the United States with my family was in 2016. My father was presenting his ministry. And I remember we went in a little church in Arkansas. But I never forgot that when we was in that church, was a small church, all people was older. But when they start to sing, I saw people crying, and I feel something different because was the presence of God. And I can feel that, and I say, wow, I can feel the presence of God here.
That's right.
And we need that in our churches. We need God present, not just in our churches, but in our lives. In all days, they are churches that operate without the presence of God. They have a lot of ministry, they have programs, they have a lot of things, but that churches are empty. Why? Because you cannot see the presence of God. It will be impossible that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no else if we do not have the presence of God in our life and in our churches. So King Solomon knew in this, we need His presence in our church. But the second point, and we can see in this chapter, is we need to recognize who God is. If you see verse 22 and 23, 1 Kings 8, 22 and 23, one more time here, we will see the King Solomon. And verse 22 says, and Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and he said, Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like thee, in heaven above or in earth beneath, who is keepest covenant and mercy with thy servant that walk before thee with all their heart. We can see here King Solomon recognized that the Lord was the God of his people and nation. King Solomon recognized that he is the only true and living God. King Solomon recognized that God keeps his promise. King Solomon recognized that God is merciful. The problem right now in many Christians is we don't recognize what God we are serving. We want to do our wills. We want to make our decisions. We don't fear God. People want to serve Him in sin. We don't recognize what God we are serving. Without His power, we want to serve Him in our ways. And for that reason, we see a lot of Christians do not recognize what God they are serving. Moses recognized who God is. In Deuteronomy 4:39 say, now, therefore this day, and consider it in thy heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is no else.
Amen.
King David, what a great example to Solomon. King David was the same, recognize who God is in 1 Chronicles 29:14, say, but who am I and what is my people that we shall be able to offer so willingly after this shore? For all things come of thee, and of thy own heart we give in thee. In other words, the King David say, everything come from you, not from me. Everything come from God. But in nowadays it's completely different. I have a nice house because I work. Or I have a good car because I do this. Or I am smart. Or I make my business. There is a big problem.
Yes.
Because we don't recognize that everything comes from God.
Amen.
And here the King Solomon, knowing that, then he need to recognize who God is. Just thinking about his father, King David has everything. Everything. He don't need nothing. But he recognized who God is. It will be impossible, brethren, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no else if we don't recognize which God we are serving. But the third point, if we want to fulfill the principal purpose of the church, it should be a place of prayer. If you see verse 27 through 30, verse 27 through 30, say, one more time here, King Solomon, but God will indeed dwell on the earth. Behold, the heaven and heaven of heaven cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built? Yet have thou respect unto the praying of thy servant, and do his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant pray before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened through this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mightest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place, and hearken thou the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. So one more time here, the King Solomon put a lot of emphasis of prayer. And it's interesting, if you start to see the next verse, you can see when people, the people of Israel have sinned, he say, hey, come to the temple and pray. If you want to make sacrifice or everything, come to the temple and pray. And if you've been defended by the enemy, come to the temple and pray. If there is a drought, one more time, come to the temple and pray. If you have problem, the same. Come to the temple and pray. I don't know why people, when they have problem or when they have a struggle, they don't want to come to the church. I don't know why. This is the best place to come to the church and pray. Why? Because God will hear our praise. But here King Solomon knew that if they want to fulfill this primary purpose of the temple, there needs to be a place of prayer. Even the stranger can pray in the temple. And I like Hebrews 4:16, is a familiar verse, say, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. But we have, brethren, that confidence. I am so grateful that I don't need a priest or I don't need another people to pray for me. I have that confidence to go to my Heavenly Father and pray and talk with Him about my struggle, about my decision, about everything. We have that confidence to go to our Heavenly Father and pray. I like the Wednesday service in our church because we put a lot of emphasis in praying. And I remember I have my best friend. Normally he going to Sunday morning and night or Sunday night. And I try to invite him to the Wednesday night service. And I try to invite. And so finally he went there. And normally we have like a 20 or 30 minutes of pray. So I start to pray. And my best friend was next to me in the chair. So I just pray. And after maybe 10 or 15 minutes, I start to hear. And I said, what happened? What is that? And so when I saw my friend, he was sleeping. I said, wow, why he is sleeping? But that remind me, because pray is something that many Christians are feeling. We have hard time to pray. Probably we don't have problem coming to the church or reading our Bible or memorize some verse, but praying is like our struggle. We don't have a time to pray, and we need to fix that. But like I say, it's so much better when we come to the church and we present our needs and we pray together. It's, for me, that is special. That is something different. It is true. You can pray in your house, you can pray in your work, or you can pray in your car, but if you're driving, don't close your eyes. But you can pray, but it's so much better when we are in the church and we pray together. It will be impossible that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is no else if we are not praying in our churches. But finally, we need to be people with a desire to serve God. If you see the verse 58, one more time here, the King Solomon, we will see his heart, his desire. Verse 58 say that he may incline our heart unto him, to walk in all his way and to keep his commandment and his status and his judgment, which he command our Father. But I like to see his attitude. He say that he may incline, and he said our heart. He don't say that he may incline my heart or that he may incline your heart. He say our hearts unto him, to walk in all his way. No, in something that I really like to me. No, in all his way, to keep his commandment, to keep his statute, to keep his judgment. We need that kind of desire in our churches. And I know the pastor, if you want to serve, he know like probably at least than you can do in the church. But it's sadly when the pastor needs something or want to work in some area, and nobody support him. But it is completely different when the pastor say, I need somebody to clean this or to go to visit this place. Hey, I wanna go with you, pastor. I want to do this. It is completely different. Here the King Solomon knew that we need this desire to serve God. So it is something simple to fulfill this principal purpose of the church. Remember, if We want that all our churches, all the people of nation to know that the Lord is God and that there is are no other. There must be the presence of God. We must recognize who is God. It must be a place of prayer, and there must be people with a desire to serve God. Pastor.
You ever wonder why you come here? Of course, part of the blessing of being in a church is the fellowship. And that's part of it. But sometimes I think we do lose focus of why God has given us this house. Not just to have fellowship, have activities, you know, the things that a lot of pastors like myself sometimes stress out about, and I'll be honest, you know, we have to have a youth pastor here to help entertain our teens so that they'll have a desire to come here kind of attitude. We need to have things for young couples so that they'll have a heart to come to church, so our church won't be like so many other churches where young couples are flocking to the contemporary church and getting entertained all the time. Our focus sometimes is wrong. And I appreciate what you said tonight. And I don't think any of those things are wrong. That's why we built that. It's a family life center. It has a gymnasium in it. We play volleyball in it. We have all kind of activities in it. We do all kind of interesting and fun things through the ministry here. Tomorrow night there will be a ladies' fellowship. It'll steer toward the Word of God, but, you know, it'll include food. It'll include a lot of enjoyment, just being with each other. And we need that fellowship, but just to keep our focus what the church is really here for. And the focus of the church is to see God's presence. The focus of the church, according to Jesus, is to be a house of prayer. That's to be the main thing. And too many times, it just seems like that's the least thing. Let's stop and let's pray. You know, 3 minutes and out the door we go. I'm just being honest, since it's your fault you preached this, so I'm gonna blame you. You got me stirred up. So thank you. Thank you for preaching that. Just a reminder. And that's one reason we're doing Awake 25. I think every pastor realizes that for ourselves as pastors and for our churches, we need to see a great awakening. There's been two great awakenings in our country. We're asking God for a third. And if he could start in little old West Virginia, that'd be sure great, wouldn't it? Nobody gets any credit for it. Just God move. God move. And just a message like that, kind of helping us refocus on what the church is really all about. And I'm not opposed to any of those things. I think I said this years ago, you know, I wanted everything through the church. I want all the sports leagues through the church, because I grew up in that. I grew up in a church with several sports leagues, and so that was kind of what I was hoping we got that, you know, with our property that we'd be able to do those things. That God has not allowed that to manifest itself here, but so I'm not opposed to those things. But man, keep the main thing the main thing. Come here to sense his presence, know his presence, know his power, know that we are interacting with him in the greatest avenue that he's given us, and that is prayer. That's what this place is for. And all the other side issues, and they are side issues, and I think you would all understand that and agree with that. All those other things come second place. Come second place to carrying the gospel to people and knowing the mind of God through his word and getting a hold of God and knowing his power through prayer, all those things. So anyway, thank you for what we heard tonight. Well, why don't we stand for just a moment, and maybe you were touched the same way tonight through what was said, maybe the same way. And so we'll just have a verse of invitation. If you If you want to make an altar right where you're standing, that's fine. If you want to come up to this altar and just ask the Lord, help us keep the right focus in this congregation, in this house of God. Lord, help us to do that. So you come if you feel led to come. Just look this way for a moment. Over the years, in my 41, 42, whatever, however many years I've been in ministry now, I've come across some people within the local churches that I've been part of and ministers that I have associated with that would advocate not having Sunday school, not having graded classes, stepping away from some of the things that we do that we try to draw people with and just get back to the basics of getting into studying God's word and praying. That's it. Now, I'm not going that direction, and I see where that could be a great hindrance to a local ministry now today. But do you also understand sometimes where we get caught up in all the other things and forget the main thing? Last night in our Awake 25 meeting with the evangelist, that he's part of the logistics team, setting up for the logistics. You know, how are we going to get the message out? How are we going to get people involved? How are we going to get people drawn to it? And so he went around to every pastor. What is the strength of your church and what is the weakness of your church? I'm not going to share with you what I think our strength or our weakness is, because I don't want to anger anybody, but I do see a weakness. But you know what? I said this to him. I said, everything rises and falls on leadership, and I'm the leader. And if there's a fault, it's my fault. It's my fault that we carry this weakness in our church. And I think we need to hear things like this once in a while. I just think we need to be starkly honest with ourselves and just say, look, we got a really good church. We do. We have a really good church. I hear this constantly from every missionary guest, every evangelist, every pastor that comes this way. Man, you got a really good church. Because it's true. So we got some really good strengths, but we got some weaknesses. And so while we approach over these next 2 months toward November 17th through the 21st, please be asking God to speak to you personally. Ask God to speak to your family. Ask God to speak to this church family that we really see. You know, if he wants to show us our strengths, that's wonderful. But the things that he wants to change, that we be say, okay, God, you can change me in this. You can personally change me. You can change my family. You can change this church. Would you do that? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but would you do that? Would you pray that way? That God would manifest himself through that crusade that we have. Because I think everyone here would say we want this church to be as useful for God's purposes and for his glory as possible. So, all right. Again, you got me stirred up, so you can blame him afterwards. So I'm going to have Brother Pardo and his wife go back to their table. I know some of you not had a chance to meet them yet and get a prayer card. So if you do that, and just thank him for being here tonight. So we'll go ahead and we'll close a prayer, and we will see you Wednesday night. The ladies' meeting tomorrow night. What time is it? 6, 7 o'clock? 6:30. Okay, 6:30 tomorrow night for the ladies. And Brother Brad, would you close us in prayer, please?